8 by Annette Portis. This is our life. It's put in two words. Hurry. Wait. Hurry. Wait. Hurry. Wait. Hurry. Wait. Hurry. Wait. Hurry. Wait. Because if you hurry, you'll miss this. It's a lesson I learned from my grandson's books that I read to him all the time. God is not in a hurry. But we tend to put God on a timetable. He says, I want you to meet me more than you worry. So, ladies, we have to wait. Wait defined means to stay or rest. You could stay a proceeding. You could stay a business. You can rest in expectation and patience. You can not haste our Heavenly Father. You can't stay his hand. You can stay to wait on something. You can wait to be served, or you could wait to serve. Staying in expectation. Waiting, waiting on, attending, accompanying, serving, waiting for, staying for the arrival of, staying at, staying or intending, attending in expectation, in service, and waiting attendance. We tend to be like that mother in the book. She was so focused on getting to where she needed to go, she couldn't stop and smell the roses. She didn't see the gentleman feeding the birds. She didn't see the puppy dog in the park. She didn't want to stop for the ice cream. She just needed to catch her train. And how many of you are trying to catch a train? I had something prepared. And I told some of my sisters, I said, he gave it to me, but I don't know that I'm supposed to talk about it. But then he affirmed it this afternoon. A woman at the restaurant said, as she waited for us, she said, everybody has to wait. We just have to learn how to take turns. What are you rushing God for? Is it your turn? Waiting, define, is waiting, is a space of where I am and where I long to be. It's a season. We've talked about that. I've heard that this weekend. It's a season that can be short or it can be long. It's a space between what I have and what or who I wish to show up and make things right. In other words, waiting is just me being in charge. You know, many folks in the scriptures have waited. Abraham, 25 years for the promised son. Joseph, the dream, 13 years. Moses and those silly Israelites for 40 stinking years. And those Israelites as well. You know, waiting is not the exception, but it is God's way. Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and I will strengthen my heart. No, That's not what it says. He said, he shall. It's a definitive. He shall strengthen thy heart. And then he gets that four-letter word again. And he says, wait. I say, on me? No. On the Lord. Did you know that the word wait is mentioned over 150 times in the Bible? So I think it might be a little important. And the fact that God put wait in the same verse two times tells me that it's very important. The problem with our waiting is we want to catapult forward. We want to make a change to our circumstances, as Sister Trahan even mentioned this afternoon. Waiting is not passive, ladies. It's actually active. And we get to participate in it, whether you want to or you feel like it or not. Waiting is a quiet, active stillness, and it's purposeful. God doesn't waste your wait. He's there with you to hold your hand, to guide your steps, and to direct you. Oftentimes, we take the scripture for our learning and not God's teaching. For our learning, so I can sound better and bigger than I am to the people that don't know Jesus Christ or those that may not be as mature in Christ as I am. But when God is teaching me to wait, I don't want to hear that word. I say, Lord, that's a four-letter word. It's bad. Don't give it to me. I'd rather have a different word that says move forward and I'll go. But I only go where I want to go, not where you'd have me to go. Sometimes we will take scripture and we will twist it to make it mean what we want it to mean. And when God says, thou shalt not, we say, well, he didn't say that I couldn't put a bug in somebody's ear and then I get them to do the dirty work for me. And then I can say, God, I didn't do it. You know who did that? Our old great, 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 great granddaddy, Adam and Eve. They allowed the word of God to be twisted in their lives, and then they decided, well, we don't have to wait. Look, we've got all these other things, but why can't I have that? So you know what? We'll just take it. God won't mind. We are tending. We're tending the garden. We're making it pleasant for him. I don't know about you, but is that how we run our lives? With our children, with our husbands, with our jobs, with our finances, with our love toward other men and women in Christ. You pick and choose. You pick and choose who you wait on. You pick and choose who you wait for. And it's sad to know when I judge a book by its cover. And that's the person God needed me to wait on. And I was too busy because I was in a hurry. It's always wise to wait on the Lord because he's the one that will give you the clear instructions that you need to move forward. He seldom does it quickly. Notice I said seldom. That means what? Sometimes. And just because it happened for this lady over here in 5 days doesn't mean when you make your request, God's going to answer you in 5 days. And your circumstance might be similar to hers, but it doesn't mean that's how he's going to answer. Because she has mail that you're not supposed to be reading. And we do that quite well. I don't know about you. I guess I'm the only one. So Psalm 32, Lori, would you read that for me? Verse 8, or I could quote it. Yes.
Now.
Please, loudly.
I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Mm-hmm.
You know, we look silly to the world when we take that scripture to heart. that it's God who will guide me. It's God who will teach me. It is God who will direct me. It was God who will give me the right timing to answer whatever needs to be answered. We look silly to them, but you know what? We be in right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. So you know what you got to do? You got to wait. Why do we wait? I mean, what is up with waiting? Does anybody know? Let's be honest. Waiting stinks. You know, we're here at the prayer advance. You have to wait to go to the bathroom. You have to wait in line to get a book or even to see the books in the bookstore. You have to wait to maybe talk to one of the speakers after the conference. You have to wait in line when you go out and you're trying to get registered. You had to wait to get to your hotel room. You had to wait in line to go and check in. And then you had to wait for an elevator to take you to the room that you were going to. You wait a lot. You wait so much you don't even have to think about it, but it's when you're inconvenienced. Every day is an opportunity for us to wait. Proverbs 2, 1 and 5 says, "You'll know me when you love my words and apply them to your everyday lives." Carol talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "To trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. Trust in the Lord while you wait." God speaks in a small, still voice to his children. But sometimes God has to get after us. And then he yells at you. And then you go, "You didn't have to yell. You didn't pick up the phone." So he needed to get your attention. Do you realize that your life is a perfect display of your love for Christ? So if I live it in a hurry, I'm teaching my fellow sisters and my young people that it's okay to rush. I also teach them it's okay to manipulate God. I don't know about you in your prayer time. To rever a holy God, to know that he is holy, holy, holy. He is righteous. He deserves my praise, not my fist. Not my stomping and demanding that I get what I want when I want it. Because ladies, when you get what you want when you want it, then what? I can guarantee you, you won't be happy. Because it wasn't his best. So what is up with this waiting thing? I heard someone already say it is trust. It is trust. But perhaps why do we have to wait? Well, God's word tells us that it will cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. Does anybody know the fruits of the Spirit? Can I hear one or two of them? Long suffering is patience, which is waiting. What's another? Yes, meekness, gentleness. Oh, that self-control thing that's called temperance in the Bible. We call it self-control. Romans 5, 3 and 5 says, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations." Knowing, having that knowledge that the tribulation worketh patience, waiting. Yikes. And patience, waiting, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. So when I obey my Heavenly Father, you have a promise. You will not be ashamed. He will not be ashamed of you. Others may be ashamed of you, but he won't. And he's the only one that matters. Because of his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. God's way of waiting is to reveal who we really are. Have you ever put, you got your hot water and you put a tea bag in there. Now my mom, she likes her tea just steep, one, two, and then she's good. I like to let my tea bag steep. But when you're in the hot water of life, when you are struggling with a circumstance, when your children have gone wayward, when your husband has walked out, when you have been fired from your job, when the diagnosis is really horrendous, when you've lost your friends, when your family has turned their back on you, how do you respond? Do you do the 1-2? And then you go, Lord, I'm going to leave this to you. Or do you let it steep and boil over, and then you rehearse it over and over and over in your mind? And then you say, God, it's been a long time. I think you can answer now. I don't know about you. I don't know if you, any of you have ever said that. I have. I'm tired of waiting. I really would like an answer. I would like an answer to your question of what it is you'd have me do for you. Father, I would like the answer. Who is the perfect mate for me? Father, I like an answer. I'm going to further my education, and I need to know where I need to go. Father, I need an answer. I need to talk to someone about Jesus Christ, but I don't like them. See, that hot water shows and reveals what's exactly inside your heart. And we had that demonstrated beautifully today with the bucket. I love the bucket. The bucket's going on soon. But with that, it shows who's in the driver's seat of your heart. Anger, bitterness, self-pity, jealousy. No more waiting, God. Do you ever wonder how your character sizes up, how God sees you? If you step into his waiting room, it's called suffering. And sometimes that is very, very scary. Time in God's waiting room allows you to slow down. This little boy was slowing his mother down because all she could see was, I've got a train to catch. And he was saying, but mommy, look at the flower. Mommy, look at the sandwich. Mommy, look at the birds. They're going to eat the seeds from the man. Mommy, ooh, ooh, mommy, look at over here. God will slow you down. Now, you know, ladies, it is far better for you to slow down on your own with the Lord than it is to have the Lord slow you down. See, because you can pick what you want to do, but you cannot choose your consequences or how long they will be. God's word said that, he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. As he slows us down, he rids us of our all-sufficient suspender popping selves, because you know we all have these high degrees. I don't know how many we have in the I can do it and I know the perfect way, and if you just really ask me my opinion, God, I would actually give it to you. But you know, in order for that to come to fruition, God has to transform you. God allows us to wait. Why? Well, we've talked about it. It allows us to grow. You know, you have seeds, you get packet seeds. I don't know if you have any farmers here or anybody that likes to work in the yard. But you know, I get joy. It sounds crazy, but I get joy in going to Home Depot or Lowe's or a nursery, and I buy the deadest plant possible. And it is my thrill to see if I, me, can make it grow. But what I realized as I was doing this on my own at the time, the Lord was speaking to me and he said, now you know, this is your life. And it is dead without me. You need me. So when I take that plant home and I dig a hole and I move out the old dirt and I put my plant in and I sprinkle some seeds in there, I put the plant in and I sprinkle some Miracle-Gro in there because I love that stuff. But you put it in there and then I move new dirt on. Now, if I did nothing and it stayed outside, it would continue to die. But you have to nurture it. You have to go and water it. Some people talk to their plants. I don't do that. But you water it. And then you allow the sun to shine upon it. And sooner or later, it begins to sprout. That is just like waiting on the Lord. When you allow him to dig a hole in your heart. And let him put his soil in your life. Allow him to sprinkle his righteousness and his forgiveness and his kindness and his long suffering over you. Let him teach you, learn of him. He will begin to water you with the word. You'll begin to fall in love with it. His son will come alongside you and minister to you. And before you know it, you don't even know that you've grown. That's the beauty of my God and my wait. Sooner or later, you're going to have to wait. What makes the waiting so hard? I'll be asking for Psalm 62, 1 and 2 soon. Psalm 37 says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And wait how? Patiently. I don't know how you, do you know how to do that? Here's a secret. I don't know either. But I'll tell you what, on my knees, as I spend time saying, Father, I don't understand. Lord, help me. Help me, because I am afraid. I don't know what's down the block. I don't know what's there for my children. I don't know what's there for my husband. I don't know my future. But God, I don't want to take another step until you tell me to. That's how you wait patiently. And some people are going to tell you, just like Carol said, you should be, you know, over that. They're going to say, hey, why don't you just go and do? David struggled with waiting because he allowed his eyes to wander. We become discouraged when we get fixated on other people and their problems. We need to check our heart conditions. Because you know what? We have some seriously unrealistic expectations. Oh my. You don't have those? I do. Because, you know, I was supposed to marry a 6-foot guy. He was going to be a basketball player. I was going to have 6 children. I only have 2. My husband is 5'5". And we were going to travel the countryside. But God said, I have the perfect mate for you. And he's broken just like you. He came from a broken home like you. And I'm going to use the two of you for his glory. And I said, I don't think so. I think we're kind of good where we are. We're just going to stay right here. I will tell you, sisters, that God has done some miraculous things in my life over the years. We've been married 33 years. I have 2 children and I have 1 grandson. And I will tell you this, the waiting has been difficult. I'm being very transparent with you. Because I wanted the perfect children the perfect husband, with the perfect house, with the perfect fence, with the perfect 2.5 dogs, with the perfect salary, perfect car, perfect neighbors, perfect church, perfect friends. I got none of those. But I got what was best for me. Who has Psalm 62, 1 and 2? Stand and read loud for me.
Truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be grieved.
Wow. My soul truly what? Waits. And where does my salvation come from? Yeah. Yeah. It should come from him and him alone. You know, we walk around sometimes as disappointed Christians because we have these unexpected expectations. I like what Brother Merrill, I'm going to use that too. Drop the rope. You want the perfect life with the perfect and the perfect and the perfect, and you keep saying, God, I'm doing everything right. I serve you. I love you. My whole heart I give to you. I sacrifice everything for you. Now, why'd you give me this fool for a husband? Better yet, ladies, we say, why can't my kids be like those kids? Why can't they be in ministry? Why can't they fall hard after God? You know what? You can't make your kids and you can't make your husband. But I know what you can do. You have a choice. How you wait and how you become along the way while you wait. The more I read my Bible, the more I realize I'm in great company. And then it helps me to wait and rest upon the Lord. Unnoticed blessings can be frustrating by the waiting, by the way. Perhaps you haven't been taking inventory on the many blessings that God has given you. A sunrise, a sunset, a coo from a baby, the smell of fresh flowers, mom's whatever cooking in the oven, your children running in and giving you a hug, your grandchildren putting a sloppy wet one right there. You can breathe. You don't need assistance. There's many things to thank God for. Hannah waited. I can't imagine being Hannah, but she waited. And what I read of her, she waited over and over again, but with a willing heart. She was precious. We don't. We kind of say, hey, let's hurry it up. Come on. But while we wait, remember, we're trying to develop the fruits of the Spirit. So, my Psalm 100, what must you do in the waiting?
Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him, sing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with his gates. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever. His faithfulness continues to generation.
Amen. So if you couldn't hear, I'm going to tell you what it is. This is what it is. It's praising. You just heard in the last session, you have to turn your focus away from your circumstances. Don't allow your weight to steal your joy. my children aren't living right, so I walk around and I mope about it, and then I tell you about it, then I have to tell someone else about it. Instead, maybe I ought to come and say, we're going to praise God together what he's going to do with my child. We're going to praise God what he's going to do for my mom or my aunt or my sister or my cousin. We're going to praise God for what he's going to do. I'm going to praise him. I'm going to thank him. And sometimes you think by praising God, you're just saying, well, I don't know that he's going to do it, so I'm going to look bad. So what? Because nobody that you have talked to can fix any of those circumstances. None of them are a miracle worker. It's a faith season that you grow in. It renews the old you, and it brings the new you into a life dependent, thriving on the fruit of the Spirit. It reveals more of the idols clearly in your life, and then you decide, along with the Lord, the posture that you must put with him, which is humility. It shifts your focus to waiting on the Lord and not onto the person or your circumstance. We need to saturate your soul in the promises of God. So I have some ladies, 61, 1 and 2. Yes, ma'am.
Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 63, 1 and 2. Yes, ma'am.
O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee. In a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in thy sanctuary.
Early. A lot of you may not be early birds. I am an early bird. But I find that when I spend time with the Lord in the first thing in the morning, because when I had children, when they were smaller, I never knew when they would roll into my room, if you know what I mean. And so I thought it best, instead of me becoming frustrated because they can't wait for mommy to come out the room, I would have to spend time with my Heavenly Father so that I could be right to my children. Psalm 66, 1 and 2. Sorry, 64, 1 and 2, and then 66. Yes, ma'am.
Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide from me the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers. You said 66?
The lady in the back's got 66, 1 and 2. A little louder, please.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
When I rush, I don't think about giving God praise. When I rush, I don't think about going to him early, meaning first. Okay, early, first. I don't think that way when I'm in a hurry, because I want what I want when I want it, and I want it now. There's a commercial. Can't think of that commercial. I think it's a J.G. Wentworth. That's what it is, and it cracks me up every time. We need to saturate our souls in the promises of God. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. We need to keep seeking. We need to keep praying. We need to spend more time with the Lord, allowing God's word to abide in us over and over and over again. And when you're tired of waiting, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go back to his word and read it over and over and over again. You have to find a life verse that when you get in the trenches and you can't move forward, you go to that verse and you tear that verse apart so it is personal, so that God can speak to your heart and that you can dwell in his presence clean. And then you will learn to wait upon the Lord. Let me tell you, you also should surround yourself with people. I've heard someone say balcony people. So I take it for those that, you know, in the balcony area, they're your cheerleaders. You can do it. Here's a verse for you. I'm going to encourage you today. I'm going to pray for you today. I'm going to call you up. I'm going to say, God has not slack in his promises to you. I'm going to give you scripture. I'm going to spend time walking side by side for the faith of the gospel with you. I'm going to encourage you in the faith. And when I walk around with naysayers, 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 all I can see and hear is, hurry, hurry, God, hurry. You know what Martha said to Jesus when she saw him and her brother was in the cave and he was dead? You know what? If you just come a little sooner, if you had hurried it up, Lazarus wouldn't be dead, God, for crying out loud. I know I'll see him again, but you know what? I would have preferred if you had just done what I wanted. Much learning doth make thee mad, I think. How long will the waiting go on? You know what, ladies? I wish I could tell you. But God's timing is like 1,000 years. And you know, for him, that's just like a day. We can continuously ask him, how long, O Lord? But we must learn to be patient. James 5:7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. You know what that means? We got to wait because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He didn't give us a time nor a date. Because behold, the husbandman, our gardener of our soul, waiteth for the precious fruit of his children of the earth and hath long patience for it. He's willing to wait until he receives the glory and latter rain. I don't remember the song that was sung today, but it talked about the pouring of the, just pouring of the rain, emptying. And I was like, Lord, that's your multiple blessing. You pour it out all the time. And I'm sitting here saying, I'm tired of waiting at the light. Wow. We may continuously to ask, how long, O Lord, but we must, I'm sorry, I already said that. God's rain is what we need in our lives. God's answer, God's blessing. And girls, he will make it rain. What have I learned from my time in waiting? It's a place where I re-examined my heart. Sometimes our hearts need recalibrating, like you do with your GPS when it doesn't know where it is. Or jump-starting your battery in your car. Your hearts sometimes need jump-starting. I learned a renewed love for the Lord and his ways. I learned a renewed trust in God and his methods. He has a wonderful track record. And sometimes while we're waiting, we kind of forget that. I find that waiting isn't a place of isolation, nor it is a place of defeat. I learned that waiting is a season. And that's it. God is not up there going, ooh, let me make you wait 5 years. He's not an ogre. As was mentioned earlier, he is orchestrating so many things in the background. You have no clue. In my waiting season, I learn, I get to know God more intimately because he was my earthly father and my heavenly father all in one. I learned more intimately how to help others and to be more compassionate as I was waiting. I learned to be more loving, more understanding, more patient, and more rested in him while I was waiting. my life verse, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him, not here, that I may know him, that he's not going to hurry my pain. He's also not going to waste your pain. Trust him. He said, try me and see if there is any wicked thing in me. You must ask God daily to search me, O God. You must ask him to cleanse your heart. You must become totally dependent upon him in your season of life. Waiting is about your faith. It's about yielding your full control to the Lord. It's also about waiting. Waiting is about trust. What season of waiting are you in? You in the beginning? Are you in the middle? Are you coming out of a season of waiting? What are you waiting for? New job, new location, new church, new friends. A husband, or a husband to come to Christ, to have children, a prodigal to come home, someone to answer the phone. That was my mom. You know, your list can go on and on. But I want you to ask yourself, what am I waiting for? But now I'm going to ask you to say, what is God waiting from me? You never thought that God was waiting for you, but he is. He's waiting for you to trust him. He's waiting for you to believe his promises. He is waiting for you to know he knows what is best for you in your life and your circumstance. So what's the rush? I don't know. Psalm 34 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Are you sure about that? Y'all sounded pretty pitiful. That's pitiful. So if you can't see, remember, slow down, that you can smell the roses of the Word of God, that you can take in the beauty that he has for you. Rushing, as I said earlier, comes with multiple consequences of which you cannot change the outcome. So be careful what you demand of God. If you don't demand any, if you demand anything, demand his peace. Demand his love. Demand that you would stand in front of him, asking him over and over, Lord, teach me thy way. Help me to hunger and thirst after your word. Demand that. Demand that God help you to memorize his word. You know what? There is coming a day, ladies, when you're not going to have a Bible. And I know we have these smartphones that are really dumb phones, but we have them. And at some point in time, it's not going to be there. So you're going to have to memorize and put it in your heart that when you're in a low space, when you're a space that you can't even seem to look up, that you allow God to minister to you. I have this sign here that says, have you prayed about it as much as you've talked about it? My mom has this down on her, in her office. And it's just a sweet reminder. You know, when life is going tough, I whine, we complain, we murmur. We don't like those words. We also, that's also gossip. We gossip because we're telling Sue to tell Betty, and Betty tells Mary, and Mary tells so-and-so. We just spread it on. But when I pray about it more, God says, I want you to go to Kathy, and I want you and Kathy to pray about that. That's the kind of God I serve. He's very personal. He makes it very personal. He will put the right people in place for you. He will guide you. He will direct you. And ladies, I don't want you to miss the lesson of waiting in a hurry. Last thing I'd like to share with you. Someone sent this out and it says, you relax on a plane even though you don't know the pilot. You relax on a ship even though you don't know the captain. You relax on the bus even though you don't know the driver. So why don't you relax in life knowing that God is in full control? Thank you.